Well, we want to welcome you this morning. This is we're Liberty Vineyard Church. My name is Zach Weaver. I'm the pastor here. I want to talk to you a minute this morning before we get into the full part of the sermon. I want to show you some pictures. Absolutely incredible rock formations and the color and the light and the way it plays off of them and the way it shines and the impossibility of some of those things as they're set apart and balanced up on different things. And you just look at them and think, how in the world was that formed? And so my question is, I think we know that they weren't created this way. Right, this started out as something very different. It started off as something very uniform, very, very level. But see, over time, they're created from a material, different levels of rock and different layers and types of rock, but they're created from material that is meant to, that is designed to erode over time. That it's meant to erode to reveal the beautiful shape that's beneath it, to reveal all of the colors, all the striations, all of the light that plays off of them, all of the different nuances and the moving and the flowing of these rock formations. See, I think for our lives, we'll never know the beauty, our true beauty and potential of your life until we allow God to sculpt us, until we allow him to strip away all of those different layers, all of that excess. I was watching a video the other day about formations in the desert, and there was a beautiful quote by a Native American proverb. It was a Native American proverb. It doesn't say who it is. And it goes like this. It is the sandstorms of life that shape the stone statues of the desert. It is the struggles of life that form a person's character. True spiritual fruit. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks. We've been on a study of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits, as I said last week, are born in adversity. They're shaped and developed through different challenges. They're shaped through waiting, much like the sandstone sculptures that we see. They're sculpted and transformed as we go through the different challenges and different times in our life. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to start right at the beginning in technically verse 2, not verse 1. My brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy because you know that these troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience. Let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do. Then you will be perfect and complete, and you'll have everything you need. And that's where we're going to land today, the fruit of patience. Did you notice in that passage, though, the other fruit as well, the other fruit that's mentioned in there? It says, when you have all kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. Because you know that these troubles test your faith. And the faith will give you patience. See, all these other fruits are intertwined. But what is patience? Really, the definition, if you look it up, the definition's a pretty good one. It says it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I just want to read that to you one more time. It's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And it's that caveat that really describes patience. There are lots of different ways to wait. Sometimes you don't even have a choice. You're forced to do it. You don't have any chance or choice in your life between it. Nothing you do will make it go any faster. Nothing you do can help it. It's that second part that really transforms it from just waiting to patience, to patiently waiting, the fruit of patience without getting angry or upset. You see, patience is in essence learning to wait well. Or learning to wait through things well. And it really requires two components. It requires trusting that the one on whom you're waiting, or the thing that you're waiting on, will eventually show up, will eventually do what it's supposed to do, or what is said is going to happen is actually going to happen. So it requires an element of faith. And second, it requires having enough self-control to stay put, not to stray. A lot of times when we get in those, I don't know about you, I get stuck in traffic and I know I'm going to get delayed. The first thing I do is rerouting. How can I get around this? How can I escape all of this? Having enough patience, self-control to stay put and not stray, to not grumble and complain, and to not let that lead to trouble, not to let the waiting to get you into trouble. I'm going to get more into that in a minute. You see, patience is self-controlled waiting and faithful endurance. And as with joy and peace that we talked about last week, it's rather difficult to describe one without really bringing in the other elements. Even the Bible doesn't describe just patience. Patience is an element of faith and an element of joy. A young man came to me last week after the service, and he told me something very interesting about the fruit of the Spirit. And I'd always thought it was interesting. You know, I like the English language, and a lot of times grammar is kind of a fascination for mine. And so my father-in-law and I had a big discussion about whether it was the fruit of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit, which I kept mispronouncing a couple of weeks. And so we talked about the difference between the two. And so this young man came up to me after church last Sunday, and he said, in the original language, that the fruit of the Spirit is not all of those individual elements individually. They're all individual fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is all of those things as one. They're all those things together. And it helps me understand a little bit. It helped me understand why it's so difficult to talk about one without talking about the others. Because if you don't, we talked about this last week, if you don't have joy, it's going to be very difficult for you to have peace in your life. And if you don't have peace, if you don't say, yes, I'm at rest, I'm comfortable, and I'm at peace, if you feel like you're in turmoil and constantly in activity and everything, it's going to be a lot of trouble for you to find joy. Likewise, if you're not ever having your faith tested, if everything always goes exactly like you wanted and the timing always works out and you get everywhere right on time and there's never any waiting or any delay and God's promises happen immediately. He says, I really want to see you move into this new house. Bang, new house. If that happened, what kind of patience would we even need? See, it's requirement that these other fruit all develop together, all these other aspects, all these other disciplines, we'll call them, in our lives, intertwine and roll together. That's what creates the fruit of the Spirit. It's what shows God's activity, its transforming power in your life, because none of these things are our natural tendencies. None of these things are we naturally designed to want to do. We are impatient creatures. At least I am. I don't know about anybody else. It's impatience is built into me. It's work a lot of times for me to be patient. There are really two different types or capacities for patience. The definition describes them, and I see it mirrored in the Bible. I see the same things being described in the Bible. Two different types of patience or waiting. The first, remember the definition, was the capacity to accept or tolerate delay or to tolerate trouble / suffering. We'll put all those together in one category. So delay or suffering. And the Bible really talks about both of these things. And so I want to break those apart into the two separate elements and talk about those for the next few minutes. Let's talk about delay. I wanted to give you a good example of what I meant about the things that can happen when we're waiting and we have trouble with faith, or we have trouble staying put and not getting into trouble and not trying to hurry things along. One of the giants of the faith, the father of Christendom, was Abraham. Abraham walked with God in a way that I think is very difficult for us to understand a lot of times. Called him to step away from his family, said, you know this and this is comfortable. And everything you have everything you need in this place. But I want you to go to another place. And I think Abraham said, well, God, where do you want me to go? I'll tell you later. You just go. And he did. And he left and he walked away. And he walked with God all this time. And then God gives him this promise They've been without child for a long time, and he says, I'm going to give you a son, and he's going to be the father of many nations, and your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sky. And then, bang, he has a kid. No. No, he doesn't. He waits. And he waits. And he waits. And what happens is that as he waits, he begins to doubt. And as we doubt, you know, we start to take matters into his own hands, and that impatience, that lack of faith in what God said he was going to do, the timing, and we're not talking about a couple of years. Decades pass, and eventually takes matters into his own hands. Jesus talks about another type of delay in Luke. If you want to turn there with me, it's going to be in Luke chapter 12. And it's in verse 35. He talks about two different types of waiting. He says in verse 35, be dressed, be ready for service, and have your lamps shining. Be like servants who are waiting for their master to come home from a wedding party. When he comes and he knocks, the servants immediately open the door for him. They will be blessed when their master comes home, because he sees that they were watching for him. I tell you the truth, the master will dress himself to serve and tell the servants to sit at the table, and he will serve them. Those servants will be blessed when he comes in and finds them still waiting, even if it's midnight or later. Kind of shows the other side, patient, waiting. But then he tells a second story that backs it up. He says, but suppose the servant, the master, goes away, and suppose the servant thinks to himself, my master won't come back soon. So he begins to beat the other servants, the men and the women, and he begins to eat and drink and get drunk, and the master will come when that servant is not ready, and that servant's not expecting him. It says he'll cut him into pieces and send him away to be with the others who don't obey. See, at the heart of impatience, at the heart of it is really a lot of arrogance. At the heart of it is disobedience. There's this idea when we're waiting and we're being forced to wait and we want to go on that it's all about me, that I need to get there, I have to get there, I'm very important for this, I have to make it for this timing. And I know that because I do this myself in my life. I feel like at that moment I need to be there more importantly maybe than somebody else does. But see, impatience, it's really built into our lives. What is it that describes impatience? What would describe impatience for you? I know for me it looks a lot like being kind of fidgety, maybe nervous. Think about when you're just having to wait, anxious, frustrated. Doubts begin to come, complaining, grumbling, irritated. These, to me, this is kind of the root of impatience to me. It's just that unsettledness that kind of creeps into our system. But what does patience look like? Think about that for a second. What does patience look like for us? See, to me, patience, it looks like tolerance. It looks like restraint. Looks like no complaining. And in fact, it looks very much like calm and stillness, even in the middle of catastrophes and in desires or in disasters. See, in essence, to me, the absence of the qualities, the essence of patience is really the absence of the qualities of impatience. Not being fidgety, not being anxious, not being nervous, not being distracted, not being complaining or grumbling or feeling irritated. That, to me, is patience. See, both are waiting. It's just how you wait. That's the difference. So what is it What is it that leads to impatience? Why don't we take a second and as a group, it's just kind of brainstorm about things that push us to impatience. And I mean, it can be as deep and theological as you want, but I think practical is a much better application for these things. What are things that lead to impatience? Selfishness, okay. Like you have a right to it, okay. Entitlement, yeah. Being goal-driven, yeah. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, just how it's applied. What else? Feeling like you're late. Man, put my hand up for that one. Yeah, feeling like you're late. Nothing leads to impatience like that for me. That's my number one. What else? Focusing on your desires. Yeah, on your own desires. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's really the essence of it, is that a lot of times we put ourselves in the place, or we allow God to put us in a place where we're going to need to wait or different things, but so many times it's just kind of thrust upon us. I mean, life, a train, there's nothing you can do. There's no going around. There's no backing up. You certainly can't move forward. You're stuck. Not going to be forever. But you know what I mean, you've all been stuck at train tracks. You can look down and you have no idea how long that train's going to be. And after a while, you start going, oh my goodness, how many more trains can there be? This is the longest train. Yeah, I'm going to start counting. And we do all of these things, but it starts to well up. I mean, I have patience for a little while. But after a while, when you're in a hurry, when you're late, when you're doing all of these different things, if you have a goal and you're driven toward that goal and something's right there in the way, can be very difficult. Now, I want you to think, I'm not going to say these out loud unless you just want to, but I want you to think about the things specific to you that try your patience. That's the phrase we often use. You're really trying my patience today. What would that be? What tries your patience? And these are very individual. These are very personal things. It could be the way somebody speaks. It might be the way they act. It might be somebody being late. It might be somebody, I don't know what it is, just in your own mind, what are the things that try your patience? This weekend, just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was on Friday, my wife Amy and I were making home. This will sound like a strange thing to make. We're making homemade mayonnaise because we're strange and we like to make homemade mayonnaise. It was actually really good, so we made homemade mayonnaise. The recipe was terrific. It cracked me up. So I'm reading through the recipe, and it has you mix all these ingredients together except for the oil. It wants an entire cup of olive oil, right? Two cups of olive oil. And you're beating it with one hand. You've got your mixer, and it says, and I think these are the exact words, slowly, 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 slowly. Don't hurry this. Slowly. Drip by drip by drip. Don't give up. Slowly. Add the oil. And they aren't kidding. It took forever. Drip by drip by drip, adding two cups of oil. It was 10 minutes of just drip. And after a while, you're shifting your hands. You're saying, can somebody else help me with this? Can just give me a break? This is taking forever. And I understood why the directions said slowly, slowly, take your time. Don't be in a hurry. Don't get through this. Now, I catch myself sometimes. You don't have to tell me, but just see if this is you guys as well. Noticing my reaction to different mundane little things I do in my life. The other day, every Monday, I sit down and I download. I take the sermons that we record and I take them, I save them, and then I upload them onto the web or upload them online. And while I'm waiting for that to upload, I'm trying to find as many different things that I can do to fill that minute and a half. And I notice myself just, come on, hurry. Let's go. What is taking so long? It's a minute and a half. And I notice that I'm getting frustrated to do something to do for the 30 or 45 seconds that this is taking. Is this anybody else? Is that just me? it's extraordinary the amount of impatience that's built into our lives and how easily we learn to tolerate it and how easily we learn to overlook it. You know, when you think about it, we give it really clever names. There's one clever name that I know I like to call my impatience, and it's called multitasking. See, multitasking is really just the impatience of doing one thing fully. Saying, I want to finish. Now, I'm not talking about if you're waiting for something to cook for 3 hours. Yeah, go do other things. Don't sit and stare at it. Or waiting for laundry. These tiny little minutes that we need to fill with pick up my phone and check my email or check this or see about that or maybe go over here and do this for 2 seconds. See, we live in an incredibly impatient world. Hurried world, a harried world, a world with fast food and the faster, the better, with faster internet, no delay for anything, the GPS, that the whole purpose of the GPS, it's not to find your way there. That's what a map is for. What's the purpose of the GPS? To find the quickest way there, to find the way around all the delays, to find the way around all the traffic. And I get pretty frustrated with my GPS when it doesn't catch things and I get stuck in traffic. See, I think part of the downside of all of the gadgets, all of the electronics, all of the stuff we can do now is that we've really lost in some ways that virtue of stillness, that virtue of waiting. And by its extension, really, if that gets too severe, really being able to know God fully. And I want to explain that because God is peace. God is stillness in the middle of the storm. God is patience. None of us would be saved if it weren't for God's patience, for God's waiting. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Be still and know me. And the context of that is the middle of all of these catastrophes and storms and disasters. The world is crumbling and there are wars all around. And it's all besieging. And in the middle he says, be still and know me. Know that I'm God. I really do believe this, that if you don't have patience in your life, then you really don't know peace. For there really cannot be any peace if there's impatience. It robs us of peace. It pulls us away. It makes us frantic and frustrated. It makes us doubt. It makes us angry. It makes us fidgety and nervous, and we have anxiety, and we get stressed. There is no peace in impatience. I want to read you a quick scripture about the other side of patience. Moving on, I told you that there were two parts. There's delay, and there's also trouble and suffering. And just like the others, it's very difficult to separate these fully. It's hard to talk about one without talking about the other. But in James, again, back to James, but not in the same verse. We're going to skip ahead to chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 7. James says, "Brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord comes again." So we're still talking about delay. "A farmer patiently waits for his valuable crop to grow from the earth and for it to receive the autumn and the spring rains. Nothing he can do about it. No amount of work is going to make the rain come faster. You too must be patient. Do not give up hope because the Lord is coming soon. Brothers and sisters, do not complain against each other, or you will be judged guilty. And the judge is ready to come. Brother and sister, follow the example of the prophets who spoke to the Lord. They suffered many hard things, and yet they were patient. We say they are happy because they did not give up. You've heard about Job's patience, and you know the Lord's purpose for him in the end, because you know the Lord is full of mercy and is kind." He begins by talking about the delay of God in coming back, and he talks about the importance of us waiting. to be patient and not give up hope. But he ends by talking about the prophets who also waited for what God had said was going to happen. What do the prophets and Job have in common? They both endured trials. They both endured trouble. And it says, yet they were patient. I want to read you something that came up as I was, this was from a book. I enjoy this book very much. It's called At His Feet, and it's just small daily devotionals, one-page little devotionals. But there's the one came up as I was just this week thinking about the sermon, and I read through this and thought, this is so on point about what we're talking. I'm going to read this to you. It says, rarely do we view the difficult circumstances of life as statements of Jesus' love for us. We more likely interpret them as interruptions in our walk with God. In our best moments, we may interpret these interruptions as tools that God uses to stretch our faith. In our worst moments, we may even see them as his disfavor. But we still tend to view them as distractions from the course that he would have us pursue. But God's hand is even in the most difficult circumstances, letting affliction have its deepest results. This is his chosen path for us, not a diversion from it. Whether he is letting hardship strengthen our faith or disciplining us for some sin, he is always the Lord of our situation. He goes on to say that he doesn't train those whom he doesn't intend to use in wonderful ways. Though we may suffer at times, we suffer with a purpose. He has a plan for us that only this type of hardship will prepare us for. He'll develop our character to prepare us for his purposes, and his method is like a refiner's fire. See, by its very nature, trials, difficulties, troubles, to endure them, to be able to endure them, is going to take an element of patience. We need to understand that God is really in control of every situation, both painful and pleasant. At the heart of the trials is the perfecting of our faith, which is manifest in really patient endurance of all things. As he quotes there, that the trials aren't a distraction from the path God has us on. They are the path that he wants us to take so that we can mature and grow into the calling he has for us. See, that's why James and Paul say that we should count it as joy. What was that passage again? You should count it as, in James chapter 1, when you have all kinds of troubles, be full of joy, because you know that these troubles test your faith. And this will give you patience. And then let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do, that you will be perfect and complete and will have everything you need. Paul says a very similar thing. In Romans chapter 5, he says, we also have joy with our troubles. Because we know that these troubles produce what? Patience. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. And he gave us his love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. See, James and Paul know a really important truth about the intersection of joy and troubles and faith and patience. And they understand how those things fit together. James tells us that the troubles test our faith. This troubles then produce patience. And we patience show itself perfectly in everything you do. I love the way that the New Living Translation says this. It says, so let it grow, your faith and your endurance and your patience. Because when your patience is fully developed, you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. And as we sang the song this morning, and it was in my heart as I was reading it, that passage from Isaiah that says, those who wait on the Lord will be saved. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They won't go faint. Strength rises as we wait upon the Lord. But the passage really implies that the way we are before the shaping of these trials, before the challenges in our life, that the way we are is unfinished, that it's incomplete, and that it's imperfect. Isn't that what he says there in James? He says, let your patience show itself perfectly, and then you'll be perfect, and you will be complete. Then, after what? After the trials, and you've been patient through trials and through challenges, then it gets its full effect on you. Then you will be perfect and complete. See, it implies that there's still work to do before all of that stuff happens, very much like the stone statues that we looked at the beginning. See, they have been worn. They've been eroded. They've been worn down by the wind and the rain and the sand that blows and all of the different elements of the world that have buffeted and challenged them. And yet through it all, they have become beautiful through that process. And we look at them and think, how does that happen? How can that even stand? How can that be? See, that's our testimony. You would be hard-pressed to find anything that speaks more strongly and demonstrates God's character and work in your life than the way that you endure, than the way that you wait, than the way that you demonstrate your patience. Because just like those stone pillars, you look at them and people see them and say, how in the world can they be standing? By all right, they should be toppling over. They've been worn down to this fine point, and yet up on them, a great slab of rock, and all this weight has been built on this other thing that has just been eroded and worn down. And they look, and it is such a testimony to God's work in your life to see how you're able to endure patience. What Paul and James are both saying is that without patience, there can be no growth. Patience is the perfection of our faith. It demonstrates our trust in God, who he said, what he is, who he is, and what he said he's going to do. So I want to close with what we've talked about, what patience is, what impatience looks like, and what its purpose is in our lives. How God uses patience as one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit to go with all the others to really build us up and begin to change our character and change who we are. But let's talk about some practical ways that we can actually do this. How can we begin to practice patience in our lives? I want to start with the idea of how abiding in Christ bears the fruit of patience. You remember we got to the idea of the fruit of the Spirit through that chapter of he who abides in me will bear much fruit. We got to it through that place. So how does abiding in Christ bear the fruit of patience? I think one of the first ways is it helps us to practice closeness to God. Practices us being in his presence and learning the stillness of his presence, like Psalm 46, being still and knowing in the midst of everything. You see, the creatures that live down in the deep of the ocean, they don't know anything of a storm that comes up above the surface, of the churning of the waves, of the lightning and the thunder, of the darkening or lightning, of things below the surface. It's calm and it's still. Were they to come up to the top and were they to be closer to the surface and closer to the action, they're going to be thrown and tossed and buffeted. But all they need to do is not say, what can I do? I'm stuck in the middle of all of this and there's nothing. All they have to do is dive back down below the surface. Because below the surface, that's where the calm and the stillness lies. You see, abiding in Christ is going to that place, going to that place below the surface of the turmoil and everything else that happens in the middle of the world. We can't. There's no way for us to live a functional Christian life and not be part of the world and not go to work and not have to get stuck at trains and not have to be frustrated because so-and-so did this and now I've got to redo all of that. There is no way to avoid that in our lives. To do so would not be a functional Christian. You would just be separated completely from everyone. And I'm not even sure then you could avoid frustration of waiting. We can't avoid it. But what we can do is in those moments, we can learn to practice that stillness, that patience, that below the surface, digging down and going to the roots and going to the source and drawing up that spiritual water that sustains and that holds us fast. And it's from here, it's from that place that joy and peace and love emanate. Because without these things, patience is impossible. So how can we display patience in our lives? How can we practice it? In a really practical way, I want to give you a few ideas of ways you can do this. And I'd love for you to try this in your life this week as you're going through. You can do it today. At some point this week, I guarantee one of you is going to have to go to the store. Walmart, Target, grocery store, Kroger, Publix. You're going to have to go for something. If you're not in a hurry and trying to pick up something quickly, choose the longest line. I dare you. I did this last night. I'm not just saying this. I thought I can't tell everybody to do this if I didn't practice it. So last night I had to go to Walmart. And it was one of those times at Walmart where I didn't really have a choice about which long line I wanted to choose, but I chose the longest of the long lines with the people with the most stuff in their basket. I had two things. The people in front of me had 20, 30, 40 things. And I thought, I came into this with the mindset of I'm going to demonstrate patience by the way I wait. I lasted about 2 minutes before I started saying, come on, what is, I'm watching the cashier go to another register to get money. I'm watching somebody that has to run back and get something else off a counter that they forgot and go back to the front. It's taking all that's in me to just stand still and not try to find a quicker line. I guarantee this will be hard. Choose the longest line. A teacher that I really enjoy, a guy named Chip Ingram that does a broadcast online of some sermons. He had a suggestion for something of this, and he said, try to get in the right-hand lane and drive wherever you're going, and don't get out of the right-hand lane. I don't know how it is everywhere, but in Atlanta, the right-hand lane, the lanes go in order. The far right-hand lane is about 55. And the next one's 65, and the next one's 75, and then 85, and then whatever that is over that. And that's the way it works. If you drive 55 in the left-hand lane, you're going to get run over. Drive in the right-hand lane, and no matter who pulls in front of you, no matter what semi is driving 45 down the interstate, stay in the right-hand lane. And take it all the way, wherever you're going. Stuck in traffic? Allow the person that waits until the very last minute to get in and cut in to let him cut in front of you. Make a space for him. I dare you to do these things. I promise I will try them in my life. They will test your patience. Remember what I asked earlier? What are the things that try your patience? I guarantee one of those is going to test your patience. And then watch your reactions. Be mindful of how it happens. And then watch for those moments that you don't get to control. I love it that Nancy brought up the being stuck at the train, because it's one of those moments you can't help. Watch how you handle it. What's your reaction? See, these are demonstrations of the fruit of patience in our life in very small ways, because if we can demonstrate them in the small, everyday, mundane, we don't care about these kind of things, how in the world, if we can't do them then, are we going to handle it when God puts us in some real difficulty? What will we do? Will we turn? Will we run? Will we flee? Will we say, God, you did this to me. I give up. I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. If we can't handle it in the faithful, in the small things, how are we going to do it when God really wants to grow us? Really wants, because I guarantee it will happen. It's just a matter of when. So I'm going to close with this. Patience is a discipline. It's a discipline just like joy and peace. It is something that must be practiced if it's ever going to be perfected. We are naturally impatient creatures. And this will be hard, and it's going to be challenging. But it really would, as I'm going to say it again, be difficult to find something more credible to the work of God in your life than the way we demonstrate patience, the way that we wait on the divine and the way we wait on the mundane. So this week, just be an observer on your own life. Notice how well you do at waiting. Note your frustration level, your reaction, the words you kind of mutter under your breath that you hope nobody hears. Then be still. Find that place beneath the current. Find that place of calm. Take a moment in God's presence, and then try again. Watch the fruit develop as patience has its full effect on you, perfecting and completing the person that God made you to be. Let's pray.